anointing is, the true anointing to your people. And Lord God, I just ask you right now to bring the understanding to all of us of who you are, because that is what the true anointing is. And I just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so of course the topic is the true anointing versus the false anointing. So basically, what we're trying to get at, there's a lot of people saying that they're anointed. But is this true? Because you hear, if you watch a lot of Christian television, a lot of these people say, and it looks like they are, but is it? Well, so first thing I'm going to do is explain what the Bible says the anointing is. And in Luke 4:18, it says, the Spirit, you got that up there, Phil, or... Luke 4:18. Well, that's fine. I'll just read it. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Now, you got to realize the anointing was, that was on Jesus Christ. And he's the only one that qualifies to be the anointing. That's why he's called the Christ, or in Hebrew he's called the Messiah, the anointed one. He's the only one that's qualified to be called the anointed one. Now, if you, as a minister or a lay person, if you're called, you know, if God calls you into the ministry or something, you will be anointed, but it's not yours. You have it because you abide in him. That's the only way you can be, that's the only way you have the true anointing. It's not nothing that you can conjure up. It's not something that you earned, or it was paid for at Calvary. So that's number one when you think of anointing. So, but that's not what other people are saying, and I'm going to show you that later on. There's another scripture, John 15:26, and it says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Anytime there's the anointing, it's always going to testify of Jesus Christ. That's one of the things you'll know. The individual will look upon Jesus Christ, not on the system that was conjured up, or the man that's preaching. It will always be looked at. You always look upon Jesus Christ, because that's what the Holy Spirit will do. He'll draw you to him, to Jesus Christ. And okay, and then of course in 1 Corinthians 2:2, he says, for I am determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That is because the anointing was upon the Apostle Paul, and that drawed him to that. It's always going to draw you to the finished work, Jesus Christ and who he was. That's the anointing. And then we go into John 12:32, and this is one of the signs. This is really what the anointing is. On John 12:32, he said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. That's the true anointing. Anytime you point an individual to Christ, there will be an anointing, because the Holy Spirit is going to draw that person to Jesus Christ. So that is the anointing. And like I said, persons who qualify, like I said, if you're called to the ministry, if you're a prophet, if you're in the fivefold ministry, whatever, you will, that's because you abide in Christ. It's not your anointing. I was giving an example. Dennis isn't here. I was going to use Dennis. You know, he drives that Hummer. Now, if I was in his Hummer on the passenger side, and I run into an individual down the street, maybe an old friend, and I go, hey, how you doing? He goes, well, I just lost my job. I don't have a car. I don't know how I'm going to get somewhere. I go, well, I tell you what, you can have this Hummer. I will give it to you. This Hummer I will give to you. Dennis is going, hold it, wait a minute. This is not yours. You're just, I'm in it. I'm in the Hummer. No, it's not yours. It's mine. I paid for it. The paper's in my name. I paid for this thing. You didn't pay nothing. You're just in the car. And that's how God looks at it. That's how you got to look at that. It's not ours. Okay. Now I want to show a video right now. This is Rodney Howard Brown. I don't know if anybody's familiar with him. Back in the 90s, he was real popular with the laughing phenomenon. If you watched TBN back in the 90s, his show was real popular. And then, of course, Kenneth Copeland, who I mentioned, I think everyone knows about him. I want you to see what they call the anointing. So, Philip, go ahead and show that.
I'm not worried what other people think. No, doesn't matter what they think.
And the great dimension of the supernatural, the great dimension of the spirit that you've hungered and cried for, yes, even this night, is your portion. Hallelujah.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, yeah. Take a deep drink. Take a deep.
Now, do you believe that's the anointing? Have you ever seen that in the service? When you speak in tongues, do you see anything in the Bible that shows people going back and forth, speaking in tongues to each other like that? That's not the anointing. That's one of the things I wanted to show you. This is what people are calling the anointing. Anybody have any questions or anything? Okay. All right. So anyway, there's another scripture that I'm going to read where it talks about false Christ. In Matthew 24, verse 5, he says, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." Now, a lot of times when you read that scripture, you're thinking of a guy saying, I'm Jesus, you know, Jim Jones or David Koresh. That scripture really isn't talking about a David. There are people that will say they're Jesus, and those type of people will deceive, but that's not what that scripture is really talking about. This scripture is talking about people saying that they come in Jesus' name, they're anointed, and they're going to deceive many. Those people like those are deceiving a lot of people. That would be false Christ, because they're not saying they're Jesus. Well, Copeland does, but I don't know what Rodney Howard Brown, but they're saying that they have the anointing, this so-called anointing. So, and they're deceiving a lot of people. And also, In Mark 13:22, he says, "For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and show signs and wonders and seduce, if it were possible, even the elect." So this false anointing that the Bible talks about, of course, when it's talking about the elect in here, it's talking about Israel. But it's also, you know, you can even look at Christians, saints, they're being deceived. It's so deceiving because they use scriptures, they have a nice church service, they'll say Jesus, they'll speak in tongues. So you're thinking, hey, they say all the buzzwords, hallelujah, praise God, they'll jump up and down. So you, so it's easy to be fooled. They're not coming in a guru. Okay, yes.
When I'm talking to people trying to either A, win them to Christ, or even those that are saved, win them to the message of the cross so that they can understand the truth, one of the biggest roadblocks is just what you're talking about, because people think because of what they've been exposed to, hey, I seen a miracle, I seen it felt good, you know, so therefore that approves what was being said over the pulpit for the 10, 15, 20 years they've been exposed to it, because they felt goosebumps or had some sort of experience. So I think that's very, you're right on point.
Yeah, there was a book written, I know you know of it, Mahari. There was a lady named Johanna Michelson. It was called The Beautiful Side of Evil. And she wasn't a Christian at the time. She went to Mexico. She was I think she's Mexican. And at the time, she was an apprentice for this lady. She was the world's leading psychic, and she was her apprentice. And she said at the time, she had a spirit guide she actually seen, and it said it was Jesus. And it felt beautiful, just like you're saying, you know what I'm saying? Satan knows how to deceive people. He's not, see, when we look at Satan, we're looking for red pajamas and a fork. Well, he's not going to come in that. He knows, you know, it says he comes as an angel of light. But anyway, she, later on, when she got saved, she still seen the spirit guide, but the Lord showed her this was not Jesus. And she seen another side of this thing. And that's what I'm saying when you're talking about people saying they felt, when you're seduced, you're being lured in. It feels nice. You know, you're not being turned off. You know, it's like you're being lured into something. So that is why they're being seducing spirits, because there's a spirit upon these people when they do these things. It's not the Holy Spirit, but it's seducing spirits. That's why you have to be careful when you watch these people on TV. Ask the Lord. Yes.
I think it appeals to the flesh. It allows them to be able to see a manifestation. We have to see with our eyes things that goes on.
Yeah, well, that one scripture says, "A wicked generation seeketh after a sign and wonder." It's in the heart of men to want those type of things. They want that. And so that's why it's so easy to be deceived. So anyway, and then in the book of Revelations, in chapter 13, 11 through 13, it says false signs and miracles, just like what you guys are talking about. "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon." So it's showing you the deception right here. He looks like a lamb, but he's actually, he had horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. So it's telling you the deception. There's Satan's behind this. "And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men." So this will even cause people to worship the Antichrist. So it shows you how deception, you know, how being seduced by signs and wonders, what it can cause human beings to do. And then if you read in 2 John, okay, and this is what I was going to talk about when I said to be careful who you listen to. Now, this is a scripture when I first got saved, I'm quite sure a lot of you heard this scripture. In 2 John, verse 1, I mean, 2 John chapter 10, verse 1. 2 John, the first chapter, verse chapter 10, whatever. Anyway, I'm going to read it. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine. Okay, now the doctrine we know is the message of the cross, the gospel. That's what he's trying to tell them. If they don't bring the gospel, which has been preached, he said, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. And that's like just saying, bless you. You know, don't shake their hand, say, hallelujah, brother, love you. Stay away from them. That's basically what that scripture is saying. Now, when I first got saved, and a lot of churches I went, they said that means if a Jehovah's Witness comes to your door or a Mormon, don't let them in. Now, that can't mean that, because Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons are sinners. They need to hear the gospel just as much as the drunkard. Now, I have to be honest with you. I had some times where I don't answer the door either. I'm not going to act self-righteous. Sometimes I don't feel like arguing with these folks, and these folks can, I just don't feel like it. I had a Mormon one time woke up, and some Mormons knocked on the door, and I'm thinking, because you got to know how to talk to them now. They got their stuff together. You know, if you don't have your mind together, they can twist some scripture. You'll be there all day trying to figure out, and I'm thinking, I don't feel like it. I'm tired. But that scripture's not saying that. I didn't go by that scripture. I know that scripture doesn't mean that. That scripture is saying, like I said, it's talking about books, television. Of course, it wasn't television back then, but it's just saying you don't allow this in your home. And plus, you got to realize, too, this was talking about in churches. Because a lot of people had churches in their houses because they weren't allowed to worship in synagogues. So this was actually saying in your church. But even if, let's say, your house, let's say your actual house, you don't want that type of teaching in your house. You know, when you watch TBN or whoever, your favorite prophet or teacher, and they're preaching this kind of stuff, he's telling you don't let them in your house. Don't let that in. That's including books, anything. You know, you don't welcome in your house and hug them and say, praise the Lord, you stay away from it. There's a reason, because you can be deceived. It's so easy to be deceived from this stuff. So now, let me get to, let's see here. Oh, yeah, go ahead. Anybody have any questions, feel free to.
I never quite looked at that passage like that as far as not letting them in your house. But it kind of shows the, you know we're in a warfare, truth versus lies. You know, Satan's not going to go to sleep. You know, he's about his business trying to deceive people. But he's going to try to get in any way he can. And I think it just makes so much sense. The new way is, you know, over the airwaves. Because if it's not on television, it's even radio, you know, and books and things that can slide streaming on the internet. There's so many things.
Yeah, I never thought of internet.
It's kind of like weeds growing, and you're trying to keep that weeds out of your lawn. And as soon as you put something down, here comes some more. And, you know, we really do have to be watchful, because the Bible says don't let them in your house. Amen.
That's right. Oh, yeah.
It reminds me, too, don't let them in our bodily temple house, because a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump.
That's right. That's right. You're exactly right. Anybody else? Okay. Okay, now I have some examples of, you know, when you preach this to people, people aren't going to pat you on the back and say, thank you for telling me I've been wrong all these years. You're not going to get that. It's just not going to happen. You're going to have people you're going to fluffle some feathers when you say this kind of stuff. Believe me. So if anybody out here wants to, you know, if you understand what I'm saying and you feel like you're going to go out there and tell somebody, you should. But be ready, because they're going to. And I want to show some stuff that we found on the internet of people that would get mad because they don't like someone exposing this stuff. You have that on the. Okay. Oh, okay. Never mind. It's right there. Okay. It says, you do not have the gift of discernment, and you might want to be careful how you speak about God's anointing. If you misunderstand, then you need to ask God to clarify that so that you do not bring judgment upon yourself. So they're saying that even if someone says something off the wall, it doesn't line up with Scripture, I'm not allowed to even question it. They're saying I'll be cursed. Show me in the Bible where it says that. You know, what it is, you're stepping on their favorite preacher. They have a, they have, like you said, they brought that in, and they don't want to let go of that. And they don't want no one telling them. I mean, when I first heard the cross, it fluffled some feathers in me because there are some things that I believe. So I understand where they're coming from, but they're wrong. Because I believe there's a curse on you if you don't check these people out. It's reverse. Satan don't want them to realize that. You better, anybody you listen to. And I mean, you listen to me. Check out what I'm saying. You can find it. You know, check it out. Don't just take my word for it. But, you know, I'd say check it out.
Yeah, and I chose, we highlighted that in red just to point out because that's very common almost in every argument that you're going to get is that you're messing with God's anointing and that you cannot judge. And then they won't
right.
listen to you any further.
Yeah, and then they're saying you're touching God's anointing. They're using from 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 22. And they're also using Psalms 105, verse 15, where it says, saying, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. And if you define touch not, it's not saying don't question somebody. Oh, yes, Michelle has it.
Well, it says all through the Word to beware of false prophets and to not, you know, if they bring another doctrine, then, you know, don't let them.
You just said it. So that can't mean to touch not mine anointed. It couldn't mean that. What that scripture is telling you, it says don't strike them. I'm not supposed to hit them in the face. I don't even believe they're anointed. But let's say they are for the sake of our, I can't hit Copeland upside the head because I don't agree with him. But I can question it. I can't kick Rodney Howard Brown in the leg or in the shin, you know, because I think what he's saying is wrong. You might want to, but, you know, that's not. And I'm not saying, no, you shouldn't do it any if he isn't. But I'm saying that scripture is not saying to not question. It's saying you don't supposed to do bodily harm, okay? Because you got to realize, too, David, remember when they was going to kill Saul, and David said, I won't touch God's anointing. Right, what he was, you know, he was wasn't going to do physical harm. But if you go further in that passage, he actually rebuked Saul for trying to kill him in front of everybody, in front of the soldiers and everything. So that shows you right there, you do supposed to question people. He questioned, like, what are you doing, man? You're trying to kill me. What's your problem? He said in front of everybody. So that's not so. So he must. That means he didn't hit him. But he already said at first, I'm not going to touch God's anointing. He was talking about doing bodily harm. But he did question him. And also, Paul rebuked Peter. If you read in Galatians, he rebuked him openly. And he needed to. So it doesn't mean what they're trying to say. You're supposed to do. You have to do that. And then we've gotten on this before in Acts about the Bereans. You remember we was talking about when Paul went to Berea, him and Silas. They read the passage, everything that Paul said, they searched the scriptures to make sure everything he said was right. And he's Paul, they didn't go, well, he's the Apostle Paul, so ain't no sense in me looking. I don't want to touch God's anointing. They looked. You're supposed to. I don't care who it is. Pastor Browning, Mahari, me. You definitely check me, but Chris, but, you know, I'm just telling you, know, yeah, don't let nobody tell you that. Check out anybody you listen to. Don't let no one scare you. You need to check. And then, let me see here, go a little further here. Then we got different types of anointings, okay? We was checking on the internet, and, oh, man, it amazes you the kind of anointings that they got now. Do you have that up, Philip? Okay, the first one, okay, Juanita Bynum wrote a book called The Threshing Floor. And she says that you have to go beyond Jesus. His model prayer in Matthew 6 into the prophetic pattern of prayer as revealed through Moses' tabernacle in the wilderness. So Philip found an archive, what, in 2006? You have to see this. This is going beyond Jesus. This is what you have to do for this anointing that she's talking about.
It's a little scary.
Receive now the prophetic intercessor, Dr. Juanita Bynum. It is only when we go beyond the veil, where we tap into the presence of God, and we're able to tap into the power of God. And now the banners, the proclamation as to who God is. Tonight we remind you in this pressing prayer, we remind you all across the world, the power of the living God. Lift up your head. Lift up feet. As these banners began to pass you, began to ask God for a new revelation, began to ask God for a new manifestation. We prepare you now for the entry of the Ark of the Covenant. I ask the Lord, why did the people praise you so much for the entry of the ark? And God reminded me, for 20 long years, the presence of God had been absent. The tabernacle of David is 24-hour praise. It's 24-hour glory.
That's the prayer shawl. $24.99, you can have it.
That's unbelievable. Number one, Jesus fulfilled all of that. Jesus fulfilled all of that. That's blasphemy. In the book of Hebrews, he said, if you do this, there's no sacrifice. So they're telling you to go, you go away from Jesus Christ, beyond him. There's no hope for you. We're pitiful human beings. We're only God's creation. We're not God. And if you go beyond him, you're in trouble. And that's what Satan wants you to do. That's what Satan wants you to do. That is satanic as you can be. That's as satanic as you can get. Because all that was fulfilled. Jesus fulfilled that. And the prayer shawls and all that is not even in the Bible. That's something that was made up hundreds of years later. So that's why I said you got to be careful. You definitely have to be careful. So that's one of the anointings. That's the prophetic anointing. Then you have the prosperity anointing. You have that one?
There's going to come an anointing in here tonight that's going to grab you like you've never been grabbed before. And shake every ounce of poverty out of you, and you'll never be broke another day in your life. You are going to get your money tonight. You're going to get revelation. You're going to get anointed. You're going to get understanding tonight. You're going to get your revelation.
Now, I got a story on this. Mom's going to get mad at me, but I'm going to tell it anyway. Remember I told you we was reading witchcraft books. There was an article that said, if you want money, you say, money cometh to me. Money cometh. Is that what it said? Well, I found a few years ago, this guy has a message. He has a technique, too. If you need money, money cometh. The same spirit.
In fact, he actually says that.
Yeah, that's what he's known for.
They all do it together. Money cometh, and they do a little.
Same thing we read in the witchcraft book. So I'm telling you, it's the same thing. Same spirit. Satan's bringing witchcraft into the church with a false anointing. Then there's a transferring of anointing. Remember I told you about riding in the car and I'm saying this is Well, this guy says it's his. Watch.
I didn't do that. That was his already.
What's that?
I want you to have a seat. Put your lower back all the way against there. Your seat.
Yeah, the pastor.
See, you have the same problem. Now, the way you do this, Pastor, is you push their feet in like that, and you look at it. It's about an inch. Okay, you can put them down for right now. That's, you're going to do this. You're going to do this. See, I'm going to transfer the anointing. He's going to pray for him, and he's going to get it. In the name of Jesus, I release the fire of God. Now you just go command this fire to be healed. Hold his feet in your hands. Kind of duck down. Look at the heels. That's what you go by.
Thank you.
Push them back. Okay.
Number one, it's a proven fact that none of our legs are exactly alike. That's a scientific fact. It's like the bending spoon trick. It's baloney. That's a lie. Oh, yes.
Mike, this actually happened at Christ Chapel.
Oh, my goodness.
Where an evangelist came in and did that exact very thing and was also giving people gold teeth.
Oh, we had that too.
And when questioned, it was, why would God give you a gold tooth? Why wouldn't he just replace your tooth? And he didn't have one answer for it.
Well, the heaven has streaks of gold. And no. Where Elijah and Elisha, that's what they'll use for transferring. That's, you know, someone will argue with you, they'll say, well, Elijah gave Elisha his anointing. But if you read that correctly, he didn't give him nothing. He said, if I go up and if you get it, you have it. It's no different if someone come to me and say, can you give me that Hummer of Dennis's? I go, well, I can't give it to you, but if he wants to give you, or he wouldn't do it, but let's say, if he wants to give you his Hummer, and if I get out of the car and he gives it to you, it's yours, you know. Same type of situation. Yeah.
Yeah, they also use, because you remember?
Romans.
Yeah.
Yeah, Paul said, I was trying to find
it. I came to impart unto you some spiritual gift, and I use the word impartation and all these great flattering words, but I remember one time calling a pastor, and he explained it to me real well. He said, and if you study that out, the spiritual gift was salvation, and he imparted salvation unto him.
Right, that's all. And he imparted the gospel. He imparted the gospel, that's all it was. That's
didn't,
all it was.
Didn't it happen something with Peter and his cloth or something?
No, that was Paul. Paul had a cloth. They used that one too.
Yeah.
But that, you know, that was a one-time thing. And I'm not saying it can't happen, but it's not, you know, yes.
Especially that scripture you were just talking about, sometimes we have to remember too, the translation wasn't the best. I mean, they didn't choose
that's
the best
right.
words.
That is so true. The language at that time fitted it, but now our language is different. So when you read it, it does sound like that. And those people use those scriptures for that. And so anyway, here's another one. Manifestation anointing. And this is at the Brownsville Revival. This is back in the 90s. I think it was the late 90s, mid-90s. I can't remember what year. And these people were acting like animals. You have to see this. You don't have it?
I don't.
Oh, never mind. Well, the Brownsville Revival was a revival back. We used to have videos on that, but yeah, people were acting like chickens. Pastor had a thing about that. I mean, he talked about it. There's people argue with him at Christ Chapel about that. They was ready to fight. They were so mad. They believe you can act like a chicken in a. Yeah, the venue. I can't. Well, I think the Brownsville is an Assembly of God church. But they all came out of the Vineyard Toronto Airport Church, which is supposed to be in a quote, and they were doing that. That started in Toronto, you're right, which was a Vineyard church. And then you have the new anointing. That's Benny Hinn. You don't have nothing on that. You don't have nothing.
No, I'm done with the clips.
And then you have the Holy Laughter. Of course, you know, that's Rodney Howard Brown, and there's others that did that.
I have a short clip on that.
Okay, he has one on that, the Holy Laughter.
Just showing you it's international.
Yeah, this is one in Brazil.
You notice that first guy was in his own slobber there, the first one.
Now, I've heard back in the 90s during the Rodney Howard Brown's thing, because there was a church in Florida, the Carpenter's Church, a lot of people later on said they'd never got no scripture read or nothing. Now, can God make people laugh? He could. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. But when every time you come to church, there's no scriptures being read, there's no word, nobody's being fed spiritually, something's wrong. That can't be the Holy Spirit. That it can't. That's why, you know, it's wrong. It's definitely wrong. And then you have the multiplication anointing. And this is something that Benny Hinn said back in August 24th, 1999. He said,
this is parsley.
Oh, it's Rod Parsley. Okay, I thought it was, okay. He said, God, where those anointing will be multiplied. Parsley says, I'm seeing this now, Benny, multiplied by one another. Smith Wigglesworth anointing, multiplied by Oral Roberts anointing, multiplied by Catherine Coleman's anointing, multiplied by Benny Hinn's anointing. And when the people come there, their faith will be at such a level that the spiritual genealogy which you are preserving will come to bear against their need. This is going to be a miracle mountain. This was in August 24th, 1999 on TBN. Then you have the hundredfold anointing. Oh, the hundredfold anointing. This is Benny Hinn says, I had a prophecy from Rod Parsley, Kenneth Copeland, and a few others had come to be with me just the last few weeks, and each one of them said, and I am amazed because I didn't think it would happen so fast. They said God is about to lift you to the hundredfold anointing. Now, the hundredfold anointing is a 1,000% increase. Wow. And then, for all those calling, and this is on TBN's Praise-a-thon, for all of those calling in pledges during that fundraiser, this is John Avanzini, promised to speak a special anointing over the pledge slips. Avanzini states, I'm usually not allowed to speak about this. Avanzini tells the TBN audience, God only tells me at certain times that I can. I'm going to speak the hundredfold increase in just a few moments. So, you know, he's speaking this. Remember, we was talking about that before. Man's God. He can create his own world. So they're saying they can speak this. They're speaking a hundredfold, you know, anointing. So, you know.
Yeah, I think they prey off of people's situation.
Well, yeah, we all need money. So
they're desperate situation.
You know, it's like, well, yeah, go ahead, speak it to me. You know, it doesn't work. They're the ones that get the hundredfold anointing, not us. Then you have a thing called the seed anointing. And it says, as you pray in the Holy Spirit, God will account that seed you're about to sow. It is worth, and as God anoints the seed, he also anoints the ground so it can bring forth a mightier harvest for you and your children, family, and bring out of bondage in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I want you to sow the best seed. People, the grounds are wet and moist by the anointing. This is Honolulu. That's Benny Hinn's, isn't it?
I'm not sure.
Anyway, then you have one called the Rambo anointing. Rodney Howard Brown says, when you get the anointing of God, you become the worst nightmare to the devil. I tell you, God's going to raise up Holy Ghost Rambos in these last days to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Yes.
Now, for one thing, God doesn't have to copy a fictional character. There's no need. God doesn't. We're supposed to be conformed to the image of Christ, not Rambo, not a character made by Sylvester Stallone. That's not, God doesn't need that. We don't have to characterize Superman or Rambo or something like that. We are supposed to be conformed to the image of Christ. That's what the Bible says. And that's by faith in his shed blood. That's what God wants us to be transformed to the image of Christ, not Rambo. If you read the story of Rambo, he had mental problems, and you know he had a lot of issues. You know, it wasn't. You know, why would you want to be that? That's foolishness. That doesn't even make sense. Then Fred Price says he has a special sickness anointing. Fred Price claims to be anointed to heal arthritis, bursitis, rheumatism with a 99% cure rate by touch. So he can just touch you, and your arthritis is gone. So in conclusion, I'm going to read a passage from Jeremiah. He said, how long, this is in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 26. How long will this be in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies? Indeed, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart. And that's basically what it is. They have an evil motive in their hearts. Because when you don't come by the way of the cross, that sin nature is going to rise up. Satan will use all your techniques that you have and your ways of talking to people to get other people, and he's going to use his false anointing to bring, to draw them people to deceive them. And they're deceived themselves too. So I'm just letting you know. And I'm going to read one more passage. Jesus said to Peter, he said, this is in Matthew 16, chapter 16, verse 15 through 17. And Jesus said, he saith unto them, but whom say you that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. The reason why Peter had the anointing, because he knew that Jesus Christ was the anointed one. And he abided, just like we said before, he abided with him. And that's how 3,000 people got saved in the book of Acts, because of he recognized that Jesus was the Christ. He knew he wasn't. He said Jesus was. And so that's basically it. I hope you got some understanding of what the anointing is and what the false anointing is. Give it back to Chris now.
Amen. Such a great job, Mike. And again, information that the church needs. I remember growing up as a young person in the church, and a lot of these things happening. And you're sitting back as a young person, and you're saying, you know, something just isn't right about that. But yet the church is saying, you need to believe this. This is the new anointing. This is this anointing. This is that. And you're just sitting back going, really? But yet we're brainwashed into thinking that. You know, it's kind of like the Mythbusters, you know. That's what Mike is, the Mythbusters. So let's go to the Lord in prayer just in closing again. Mike, thank you for giving us this tonight and showing us again, what the truth can do to break through these types of bondages. And they are bondages, especially when people are bound by them. Lord Jesus, we just thank you tonight, Lord Jesus, for your truth, God. Lord, we thank you for your true anointing, Lord Jesus, that we can only find peace in you, Lord Jesus. We can only find anything that we need in you, God. Lord, continue to change our hearts, continue to change our minds, Lord Jesus, to focus on you, Lord Jesus, to look to you for everything that we need, Lord. Continue to increase our faith, Lord Jesus, especially in such a time that we live, Lord Jesus, that to know that all we need is you, Lord Jesus. I ask that you would bless the people, Lord Jesus, that you would bring them back safely at the next service, Lord Jesus. We just thank you and we just love you tonight, Lord. Amen. And you're dismissed. Thank you.